It's great to be able to be here with you. I used to speak Mandarin fairly well, but we transitioned back to the U.S. about 5 years ago, and my Mandarin is very rusty. I don't get opportunities to speak very often in Mandarin, and so not using it, it just kind of floats away. So I'm glad you can understand English, and I'll try to speak clearly. So this morning, we're basically talking about one verse. It's an easy verse. It's in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. And I find it interesting because Jesus brings four animals into one verse. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, okay, if I were visiting a zoo and I were to come to this section over here, and I would say, these are the herbivores, those that only eat plants. And the representative of that group of animals would be the sheep. And over here, you've got the carnivores, those that eat meat. And the representative of that group of animals would be the wolves. And then over there, you've got the reptiles. And the animal that would represent them would be the snakes. And then over here, we have an aviary. That's the place where they keep birds. And we have the dove. And it's kind of, you walk into one verse, and here's a whole zoo for us to think about today. And so this verse, basically, I'm just going to read this verse, and then we'll dive in. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpents, and as harmless as doves. As we read the Bible, we know that Jesus has given his church a mission. The Great Commission is something that is a part of the Bible, and it's something that we as believers need to accept and we need to move into. But how we do that well is very important. And so in this passage in Matthew 10, the context is Jesus is sending out his disciples and telling them how they need to go into society. And there's basically 4 points, and it's on the back of your bulletin there. But as we talk about this passage of Scripture, I think the key thing to remember is relationships. Now, relationships are not difficult for Chinese people to understand. Guanxi is everything. Everything is relationship. Everything happens in relationship to who you know and how you get along with those people. And so one of the things that I am excited to realize is when I'm speaking with a group of people with Chinese background, you kind of have a handle on the importance of good relationships. And so in this passage, Jesus talks about how we relate to one another in doing the Great Commission. And as we prepare to do God's work and God's mission, my goal today is to help us think about how we can do that preparation well. When I watch the news, it seems like the world is just getting so chaotic. There's violence, violence everywhere, even in our own country. We don't see a lot as much as some places, but we are not unaware of the potential for violence to happen even in our own communities. Down in New Zealand here, a month or so ago, the shooting at the mosque, the things that we see about persecution in the Middle East and North Africa, the war that's going on and Syria, and it seems like chaos is reigning. And for me, it's easy to say, you know, I just need to draw in and protect myself. I need to protect those I love. It's easy for me to say, the world is chaotic. I need to pray for my kids. I need to pray for my grandkids. I need to pray for my church. We need to have this protective mindset. But I think Jesus calls us to move beyond our own little circle. And he calls us to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. And we need to be witnesses to those people. And so, in the chaos, how do we do that well? I don't know that whether you have those kinds of similar experiences when you watch the news on TV and see what's going on in some other countries. But I feel like this verse gives me a handle on how I can pray and how I can witness for him in this world. As we look at this verse, one of the things that I find that's interesting is that it starts out, Jesus uses a word that the New International Version misses it, but he actually, there is a Greek word that starts out that says, behold, or in Chinese we would say, nikan, pay attention, okay? And then he uses the word I. Now the verb that follows in the Greek is the word that we get apostle from. The meaning is to send somebody out. But in the Greek is different than the English. The Greek contains within the verb the person who is speaking. Okay? So, twice Jesus says, pay attention. He says, behold, I send you out. That would be the way you would literally translate the Greek. Okay? This is important. Pay attention. I send you out. And so I think one of the things that we need to be aware of is that when Jesus calls us, he wants, this is an important thing. And he has the authority to command us in doing what we do. I send you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent of doves. In the context here, Jesus starts out in chapter 10, and he's sending out his disciples, and he's telling them, giving them directions where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, a lot of different details in that. But all of these things are kind of summed up in these first, in this one verse. And as we talk about the relationships in this verse, I think the primary things that we need to look at, first of all, is our relationship with God and Jesus. How does he relate to us and how do we relate to him? The second relationship that is key is how we relate to one another in the body of Christ. A third thing is how do you relate to yourself? Self-image, your family of origin, how you view yourself, your relationship to yourself. Do you like yourself? Or do you think to yourself, you know, I wish I was different somehow? That's an important thing. And then there's the whole relationship with the world around us. The world is chaotic. How do we relate to that chaos? Finally is the relationship to the devil. One of the things that the Bible points to and Jesus talks about is there is a personal enemy that we have, the devil, the enemy of our souls, who desires to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus has come that we might have love, might have life, and life abundantly. And so as we consider these relationships, the first one, the image we have is the sheep and the wolves. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Two things you need to know about sheep, okay? Sheep are helpless. They need a shepherd. If sheep don't have a shepherd, it's basically game over, okay? And so as we think about sheep, the important thing is, okay, my relationship with Jesus, is he my good shepherd? We think of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Beautiful Old Testament passage talks about our relationship with God. And then we read in John chapter 10, Jesus, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. And so we need to realize that we have a good shepherd. When we go out into the world, into the chaos, we have somebody who is watching over and caring for us. He guides and directs. He leads us. He protects us. He helps us to accomplish his will for our lives. And so as we think of the sheep, the first thing that we need to realize is we have a shepherd. And we need to keep that relationship strong. Okay? It's easy for sheep to wander off. They get distracted. They're looking for new pastures. They're wandering off. They're exploring new territory, and pretty soon they're lost. The important thing for us is we need that close relationship with our shepherd. And so the question that I would have for you this morning is, are you in relationship with Jesus? If you're not, he desires to be your shepherd today. You can get into that relationship with him. But second, if you are already a follower of Jesus, what does your day-to-day relationship with him look like? Are you trusting him day-to-day? Are you feeding in his word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you witnessing and sharing with others? Those are all things that would indicate what kind of relationship you have with Jesus. It's real easy to get distracted. We get into video games, or we start watching TVs, or we are doing all kinds of other things. And it's easy to forget we have a shepherd that desires to spend time with us. The God of the universe, the creator of each of us, desires to have a relationship with us. And he desires us to come along into his presence. And yet so oftentimes we kind of ignore that. And so that's sort of the first thing you need to understand about sheep, is they need a shepherd. The second thing that you need to understand about sheep is sheep tend to need the support of their flock. And the relationship that we have with one another is extremely important. As you read through the book of Acts, one of the things that struck me, especially the first four chapters of the book of Acts, is how often it talks about, it actually uses the word together. You know, when Jesus ascends up to heaven, the disciples are together. After the 10 days between the ascension and the day of Pentecost, they're in the upper room praying all together. As you look at the functioning of the church in Book of Acts in chapter 4, after Peter and John spend a night in prison and are questioned by the Jewish authorities about how they healed this lame person, and they stand up and tell them, you know, it was in the name of Jesus that this happened. They do it together. They come back to the church, and the church together prays. And there's all kinds of things that happen together. Too oftentimes, we neglect the relationships that we have with one another. One of the interesting ways that Jesus talks about the Great Commission is He sends us out, but he says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, because of the love you have for one another. When we were in Taiwan, one of the things that we were involved in was planting churches. And we would rent a storefront. We'd have a group of young people, oftentimes seminary students or young recent seminary graduates. We'd have, you know, four or five, sometimes six. And we would move into a community. We'd rent the storefront. We'd start going out, and we'd go two by two, door to door, knocking on doors. But we'd do it together. And so as you think about this verse in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, sheep among wolves, we need to do it together. One of the things that I learned as a missionary, we were sent out by a church. And we went to Taiwan. We worked with a team in Taiwan. But beyond just that team in Taiwan, our church and the people who are supporting us prayed for us regularly. And so there's this sense of, when you are doing ministry, it's important to be connected together with God's people, doing it together. We are not lone rangers. We are not out there fighting the battle on our own. Two things we need. We need a shepherd, and we need a flock. We need the support of one another. And then you come to the place where, okay, we face a world of opposition. The world is chaotic. Satan is real, and he wants to take us out. Jesus talks about the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And that's Satan. That's who he is. His desire is to take us out. World is chaotic. I mean, God created a beautiful world. Everything was in order. Adam and Eve sinned. They fell. And the result of that fall is chaos. Between the world and the devil, we are sheep sent out in the midst of wolves. And we need a shepherd, and we need to recognize that we need wisdom and compassion. And this is where we get into the importance of understanding the snake and the dove. So the snake is an interesting animal. I spent a summer in Haiti. Back in 1973, I spent 3 months in Haiti as a short-term missionary. One of the things that I brought back from Haiti with me was a live boa constrictor. And I kept it as a pet for almost a year. And the reason I brought it back, a friend of mine who lived here in Portland had a pet snake, and he asked if I would bring one for him. And so I thought, well, if I'm bringing one back, I might as well bring one back for myself. And so I brought this, and she was about 5 feet long, and she was very interesting. You know, one of the things that the verses that we overlook when we read the Genesis account of the fall of Adam and Eve is how beautiful the serpent was. Okay? We tend to just look at him and say, gives me the shivers. But snakes are very interesting creatures, and I happen to think that Satan used the most attractive of animals in order to tempt Eve. And so I think of the snake as a victim. Okay? Used by Satan to cause the fall of man. Now that's a different attitude than a lot of us have about snakes, okay? But I think when God redeems creation, I think in the new heaven and new earth there will be animals galore, and I think there will be snakes redeemed. Okay? But one of the things that is pointed out, and this is from the cultural context of the day, how people thought about snakes in the time of Jesus. You know, you can go through the Bible. You see the snake in the book, the Genesis account of the fall of man. You see the snake. Moses has a staff that turns into a snake and shows the power of God and that is there to redeem Israel out of slavery. Then you have the snakes in the wilderness and the snake that goes up on the pole so people can look at the snake and be healed when they're bitten. There's all kinds of interesting stories about snakes. One of the things that comes out about snakes is that the wisdom that is there. Now, oftentimes when we think about the snake and wisdom, we think of cunning and deceit and manipulation. Now, Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So where does that wisdom, what does that wisdom look like in our lives? And I think the snake that I had, like I said, was very tame, very affectionate. I would take her around to elementary schools and I would have her and the kids would come up and they would pet her and she would crawl up my arm and come up around over here like this and her head would come around and she'd look at me like this and her tongue would poke out. Very, very affectionate snake. And the interest, one of the other interesting facts, and this is sort of a rabbit trail, but I paid 25 cents for her in Haiti, a quarter, okay? I kept her for a year. She had 9 babies. Couldn't get any of them to live. A sad thing, but I used to feed her 2 live mice a week. She didn't like dead food. Okay, she wanted to kill her own. I had her for almost a year, and sold her to a friend of mine that had the other snake for $40. Okay, 25 cents investment, $40. That was a good deal. But what does this wisdom look like? And I think there's 2 things that we need to look at when we think about wisdom. I think the first thing that we need to think about with wisdom is there is such a thing as spiritual wisdom. We talk about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. In James, James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8, it talks about the importance of if anybody needs wisdom, let him ask of God. We need to have God's spiritual wisdom in our lives. Otherwise, we become that kind of cunning, manipulative, kind of controlling person that is not appropriate when it comes to doing the mission of God. But then I think there are other things that also are important that we need to learn. Skills. One of the things that I look at when I think about going to the mission field is just the practical things of choosing to develop yourself. One of the basic skills is language. Many of you have the advantage of speaking several languages. I think language is huge When you can speak more than one language, you can become the bridge between one group of people and another group of people. And I think, you know, China is sending thousands of young people, university students, to the U.S. to get trained in English. How many are we sending to China to learn Chinese? Not nearly as many. And so I'm saying to myself, you know, if we had American young people who were going to China and learning to speak Chinese, Christian young people, God would use those people as a bridge for his purposes. I think when we don't learn other languages, we abdicate, we lay aside an opportunity that God could use in our lives. Besides language, there's other skills, you know, if you things like swimming, learn how to swim. You never know when you're going to need it. Hiking, mountain climbing, boating, driving a car. Most of you probably drive a car. Drive a stick shift car. Better than that, drive a truck. Learn how to drive a truck. Learn how to drive a bus. Learn how to ride a motorcycle. Get your motorcycle license. Learn how to fix a car. Some countries in the world, having a car means you need to maintain it yourself. Learn how to fix a motorcycle. Learn how to fix a bicycle. Learn how to use tools. You know, what's a screwdriver for? How do you use a hammer without hitting your thumb? You know, those kinds of things are important. Cooking, a skill that I never developed. Fortunately, God gave me a wife that cooks very well, and I, you know, but cooking is an important skill. Another skill, learning how to eat with chopsticks. Learning how to eat with your fingers. A friend of mine, one of our Chuandao pastors in Taiwan, and I went to India. He was supposed to be the speaker for a large conference of Indian church planters, and I went as the translator. And so he prepared a whole package of disposable chopsticks because he had heard that in India people ate with their fingers, and he wasn't quite sure he could deal with that. And so he had a whole package of disposable chopsticks. The first few days we were there, we stayed in guest houses and so forth, and they always had a spoon or a fork or something to eat with. And so he got used to not carrying his chopsticks with him. And so the first day we showed up at the retreat center where we were going to have the meeting, and there was 300 people there. We showed up in the dining hall. There wasn't a spoon or a fork anywhere, and he had left his chopsticks back in the room. And he looked at me, and he looked at the table, and there was no spoon or fork. There were just plates of food. And I said to him, "You need to break through this barrier. When in Rome, do as the Romans. Learn how to eat with your fingers." And so he watched everybody else, and he picked up his plate, and he started doing this, and pretty soon he was eating. And, you know, he managed. But one of those things that we need to do is develop new skills, even if it's a simple thing like breaking through a barrier of how you eat food. Learn how to run a business. Learn how to teach a skill. Learn how to take care of an animal. Learn how to take care of a snake, maybe. Learn some medical first aid. Learn some medicine. Those are important things. Learn how to play a musical instrument. One of the regrets that I have is that I played trumpet a little bit, took some trumpet lessons. In middle school, I played the tuba. In college, I messed around with a guitar for a little while, but I never really did anything with it. So yeah, young people, learn all these things. Parents, if you've got young people, encourage your children to learn those things. Encourage them to grow in their vision. Give them a vision bigger than just the circle that they are in right now. Finally, we come down to the doves, and the doves are an important thing because it talks about the attitude of compassion. As I said, it's real easy if you're a snake for that wisdom to become something that is just manipulative, getting other people to do what you want them to do. But when we come in with real compassion and caring, it kind of tempers that. You know, our impressions of snakes is they're cold-blooded. They're just kind of not real emotional, not real warm. The problem with doves is they can be too emotional. They can be so emotional, it's kind of the warm fuzzies, and we don't really have wisdom. It's really easy to become deceived, and we lack that discernment. And so I think Jesus was bringing the snake and the dove in here. He says, you know, you need to be balanced. You need to have discernment on the one hand, but you need to have compassion and sympathy and emotional connection on the other hand. The final thing, and with this I'm going to end, it's interesting to notice that both the sheep and the dove were objects for sacrifice. When we approach missions, it will cost. It will cost us something. We are moving into a chaotic world, a violent world. We are like sheep that are going into the midst of wolves. We need the discernment that God can give us. We need the skills that we can develop. But we need the compassion of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in our lives as we move into this world and consider ourselves sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it speaks into our lives. And God, as we consider your purpose in our lives, we know that we are your workmanship, that we've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that you ordained in advance for us to do. And so, Lord, we come and we desire to know your purpose, to know your will for our lives. Help us to be in relationship with you, with one another. And Lord, as we go into the world, give us wisdom and give us compassion. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.